seeing as how I'm not going to be able to give the share of Shabbos because I'll be in Tzfat. So we're doing this now, Leil Shishi, Thursday night, and it'll be abbreviated, but hopefully it'll be really edifying. Noach, Tavshinayin Tes. There is a famous, famous Medrash, Tanchuma, Noach. I mean, you could say that all of Midrashim are famous, but the fact is that this happens to be really very well known, certainly in yeshiva circles. And this is the Medrash that comes to answer the question as to why Chazal decided to darshan out. They darshan out from Sukkim, Tachti Sahar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Maim Har Sinai was Kofaleim Har Kigigis. He held the mountain above their heads like a barrel and said, "Into Kableu Mutav, if you accept the Torah, it's fine. And if not, Shamti Ekvarasim. And if not, this will be your end." Albeit they do darshan it from the Pasuk, but it flies in the face of what was said in the Psukim. The Psukim say, Nasa V'Nishma. So why extract a drash that's right diametrically opposed to what we see in the Psukim? And there are different answers to this. Tosis talks about it, but the Medrash Tanchuma says, this Medrash Tanchuma in Shmos is a very famous answer. And it says that the difference is that Natsum and Nishma was said with regard to Torah Shebichsav, which is easier to learn, clear, etc. And Kofaleim Harkigigis, that the mount was held over their head. The barrel said with regard to Torah Shebalpeh. And the Medrash expands on this and says that Torah Shebalpeh is very difficult. Person who wants to learn Torah Shebalpeh and still be wedded to the pleasures of this world. These are two worldviews that won't mix, etc. And it uses the pasuk in Mishael that's Ha'am Olchim B'Choshech. Pasuk in Mishael tests Ha'am Olchim B'Choshech Ro'u Or Gadol. The nation that walks through the darkness and then sees a great light. And that's the Talmud. The Talmud is a struggle, trying to understand, Torah Shebalpeh, it's difficult, you understand, you don't understand, you don't understand, you don't understand, you stand, you don't understand, back and forth, you have to toil, and eventually a great light will be revealed. That's the nature of Torah Shebalpeh. The Medrash actually starts off, right, Ela told us, Noach, Noach, right? Yizbarach Shmo Shalmelech Malchem Lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shebachar B'Yisrael Mishivim Umos Moshe Kosuv Ki Chelek Hashem Amo Yaakov Chevel Nachaloso. And then after it differentiates or extols the qualities of the Jewish people, that they are the Yaakov Chevel Nachaloso, they are the inheritance, they are the true heirs of God's will in the world. And then it goes, launches into this whole story about Nasa and Nishma and what you call it, Kofaleim Harkigigis, and eventually winds up ending the Medrash off with Ha'am Ha'olchim Ha'choshech Ro'or Ha'godol. So oftentimes people say that this entire idea of the introduction, I mean really the beginning of the Medrash sounds like it relates to the Parsha. We're watching the evolution, pardon me for the word, right? We're watching the evolution of from Parshas Bereishis to Parshas Noach, and at the end of Parshas Noach, already we have Avram beginning to come onto the scene, Lech Lecha, etc. We've made the transition from the 70 nations of the world, or Apalaga, or Aflaga, as you prefer, to Avram Avinu. And the only reason they mentioned this other idea, the idea of Ha'am Ha'olchim B'Choshech Ro'or Ha'godol, they included this in this Medrash because this would be the first Parsha. Parsha Noach would be the first Parsha that the people had actually returned to Yeshiva after the Tovim. And so to encourage the students, they used this idea of Ha'am Ha'olchim B'Choshech Ro'or Ha'godol that the nation walks through the darkness, the toil of Talmud, the difficulty, and ultimately the great reward and the light that is revealed. Fine. I dare say, though, there's something more to it than that. I think that there is a linkage between this transition, which we see evolving in front of us from Noach, his generation, then subsequently the Dor HaPalagah, the birth of Avram into the world of the Avos, and the beginnings, and the foundations of Christ. I dare say that there's a greater link between them. And I thought perhaps we could demonstrate this with a particular point that takes place in the Parsha, which, interesting enough, has a relationship with the events that have taken place in Parshas Bereishis also. What do I mean? It says, "Va'yivan Noach mizbeach la'Hashem." After Noach exited the teva, he built a mizbeach la'Hashem. V'kach v'kol ve'ima torah, v'kol ofa tohor v'yal olos ba'mizbeach. He offered up olos upon the mizbeach. So Rambam teaches us in Hilchos Beis Abchira, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. He's a mesores biyad hakol, shamokom shebana bo David uShlomo hamizbeach begorn aravna. The place where the mizbeach of the Beis Hamikdash was ultimately built, David and Shlomo, as the Rambam says, in the Goren of Aravna Yavusi, while Mokom Shembona Bo Avram HaMizbeach, it's the same place where Avram built the Mizbeach, the Akar of Yitzchak, while Mokom Shembona Bo Noach, it's the same place where Noach built the Mizbeach, right, when he came out of the Teva, V'hu'a Mizbeach Shehikriv Olav Kayin V'Hevel, it's the same as Beach that Cain the Hevel sacrificed upon, or makriv upon, better terminology. Ubohikriv Adam Arishon Korban Keshenivra. And so too also Adam Arishon also used this mizbeach when he was created. Misham Nivra, and from that place he was created from that place. Misham Nivra, Amru Chachamim Adam Imokom Kaparosu Nivra. Adam was born, created, I should say, from the place of his kapara. The Chizkuni Derech Agav says also in Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Yud Aleph, with regard to Yaakov sleeping in the Mokom HaMikdash, it says Vayikach Me'avnei HaMokom. Says the Chizkuni Me'avnei HaMizbeach Yitzchak Aviv Ne'akar Alav. In other words, the rocks that he found, the stones he found there, were from the Mizbeach upon which his father had been placed during the Akedah, and Yaakov gathered them together, etc. And became all one in the morning, etc., without getting into that. So it comes out, certainly with the Chizkuni, we're talking about the same place for Adam, the same place for Cain Hevel, same place for Noah, the same place for Avraham and Yitzchak, same place for Yaakov, right? And the same place for David and Shlomo. It's amazing. With regard to the fact that he was created from that place, that which the Rama mentioned, we also know that that's found in Rashi, in Bereishis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin. It says, "Vayitzera Hashem Elokim es Adam afar min Adama, vayipach v'apach nishmas chayim, vayadam l'nefesh chayos." So Rashi tells us over there, two perushim, as to what it means he was formed from the Adama. What are we speaking about? One perush, Rashi says, is the one that the Rama mentions, that he was created from the place of his ultimate kapara, and there's the space of the Mizbeach, the place of the Mizbeach, was where his offer was taken from. Derech Agav, the Rogatchover says that is the reason why there was an empty space, a halal, underneath the Mizbeach. It might have gotten filled in afterwards, but that cavern that went down to the bowels of the earth, that was later on re-excavated, as it were, by David, when he was digging the shisin, as they refer to, right? This causeway down to the bowels of the earth underneath the Mizbeach, he was redigging it, really, says the Rogatchover, because originally it was empty, it just got filled up because of mankind's sins, but it was originally empty. Why? Because that is the offer. From there came the offer which made Adam Arisha. Interesting. I mean, Rashi says another parish also that his ultimate was gathered from all over the world, all over the earth, so that wherever he passed away, he would be regathered to the earth through the process of Kfura. No place would reject him. The Maharal in his Gurai says that the first parish also understands the same way. In other words, the two Perushim are the first parish, but the two Perushim, even the one that says that it's he was made from his place of the Mizbeach, it's not denying that. It's just saying that the essence of the entire earth, anyway, is found by the Mizbeach. So all the offer from which Adam was made has a link, right, to the entire world and to the place of Mizbeach. Fine. Okay. Let's examine just for a moment. We said that Adam is a kind of Hevel. We said Noach, Avraham Yitzchak, at the time of Akedah, Yaakov, later on, and ultimately David and Shlomo, all use the same spot. Let's examine the nature of their korbanos. With regard to Adam, so the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says that Adam, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah is appears that the korban that Adam brought was after he sinned. And then it describes there a situation, a scenario, of where the entire night, Erev Shabbos, Adam sinned, the sun set. Again, the different midrashim here, I'm going to get lost in the different opinions, but according to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the sun set, and Adam thought, that's it, this is it. This is the death that I brought into the world through my eating from the Eitz Hadas. That's it, I've destroyed the world's returning to total revolt, the sun has set. He spends the whole night fasting and crying. Chava sits opposite him, fasting and crying. Right? Comes the morning, the sun rises. Unbelievable. Sun rises. So Adam then brings a korban. And the Chazal say there in that Gemara in Avodah Zarah that the korban was an unusual korban. It was a shor. That the Gemara says his feet, right? Unlike most animals, their feet, sort of the short ox, its feet develop before its horns. Right? It's born, it walks on the ground, and eventually as it gets older, as it matures, the horns develop. This animal, its horns made its appearance first. Right? Because since HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it, right? He created it out of the ground. So the horns appeared first, and his feet later. In addition, the Gemara says that this ox had one horn in the middle of its head. And the Mefarshim say, the Tzura Mor, the Bina Bachye, they say that the symbolism over here is that even he brought this korban as a kapara. He brought it, it had a single horn because his eating of the Eitz Hadas was rebellion against Hashem, who is Echad. And its feet, right, as it were, succeeding its horns, are indicative, right, or metaphorically representative of his sin. In other words, his gaiva, his strength, his horns, even before he had a chance to spend any time walking the earth, doing what Hashem wanted him to do on the earth, la'av, de l'sham, or whatever it was he had to do in the world, he already has extended his horns upward. He's shown his gaiva. So that was the nature of Adam's. It was the nature of Adam's korban. Clearly, kapara. The next korban, Kain Hevel. I won't get into Kain per se. The Malbim says, interestingly enough, that Kain really had some very, very bizarre ideas. He thought that Hashem needed the korban, etc. He had some very, very strange ideas. And the Targum Yerushalmi also mentions Kain was clearly he was not thinking clearly. I mean, he's big, et cetera, but he had certain day, a certain kulam album, and according to the Targum Yerushalmi, if I remember correctly, these certain days that we would look askance at. But Hevel, he brought his korban as a sign of thanks. Right? Remember, Adam brought it for kapora. And Hevel brought is a sign of thanks. And it's interesting, the Malbim actually is Medayakit. It says, the Hevel hevi gamhu mi bechoros sono umichel vehem, vayish Hashem el Hevel ve'el minchasov. Now, there are different ways to understand this passage, but the Malbim says, the Hevel hevi gamhu, in other words, in enwrapped, as it were, in his bringing the korban, he brought himself. Gamhu. He brought himself. In other words, he was giving himself over in thanks to the Creator, to Rabbeinu Shalom. So Adam brought as a kapara, Hevel brought as a symbol of thanks. Noach, in our parsha, so we said before, he brought olos, where the nature was olos. So the Malbim says the olos were there as a sign of hodah, chesed, because Baruch Hu gave the world new life. Rav Yonasan Eibshitz says that the korbanos were a kapara, dafka ola, and ola one brings when one negates a positive commandment. Noach felt that because he hadn't prayed, especially praying in a time of tzara, a time of travail, is, according to the Ramban, that's the real prayer d'oraisa, real chiv of prayer d'oraisa, is when a person is in a state of travail, and he didn't pray for the world at that time, he felt he needed a kapara. So, again, Adam brought it clearly as a kapara, yeah, his one-horned ox, whose horns appeared before his hooves. Hevel brought it as a hodah, as a korban of thanks. Noach, depending, the Malbim, or Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, is he bringing it as thanks? Is he bringing it because of kapara? Then all of a sudden, you come to Avraham Yitzchak, to the Akedah. Everybody knew where to go. But it's interesting, when Avraham Yitzchak come, they don't know where to go. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't show them until the third day. Rashi brings down that the Rabbeinu Shlomo Bedavka didn't show Avraham earlier. Didn't tell him where he was going. Everybody else knows where to go. Avraham is not told where he's going to go. Only then he sees an Anan, on Har Moriah, and he realizes that's the place he's meant to go to. Interesting. Yaakov. Now this is really mind-boggling. Yaakov, I mean, according to the simple pshat, he didn't even realize he was there. None of that. He gets up in the morning. He says, "Vayikatz Yaakov mishnaso in Perk Chavches in Bereishis in Vayetze. Vayikav Yaakov Yaakov mishnaso. He rose from his slumber. Vayomar Chen Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. Anochi lo yadati." Billy playing. He says, I mean, you read the statement, Achein Yesh Hashem b'mokom hazeh. I mean, it sounds, at first glance, sounds like blasphemy. Achein Yesh, oh, behold, Hashem is here. V'anochi lo yadati, I didn't know. He's here? Where is he not? He's everywhere. Vahira, and Yaakov continues, Vayomar, Manora b'mokom hazeh, in zekim beis lakim zeh shar shamayim. He thought, Hashem wasn't here, that's what it says. Now he realizes Hashem is here. This is it. This is the base of Kim, and this is the Shar Shamayim. To make matters worse, the Sfasemis, listen to the words of Sfasemis. Sfasemis says, it says that Kim, this is written as a Shvach to Yaakov, that he realized Hashem is here. Uchsiv, Yesh Hashem b'mokom hazeh, v'anochi lo yadati. Michlal, says the Sfasemis. We see from this, Shaya mokom meruchak me'od, it was a very distant place. It was difficult to believe. The chiyus of Hashem Yisbarach would be there. Now, something. We're talking about the Mokam Mikdash. Meruchak? Distant? How could he feel? How could he sense? How could his intuition tell him this place is distant? And Hashem's chidus can't be found here. So I dare say that remember we said before the Rogatchover said that the place of the Mizbeach, and we heard from the Chizkuni that Yaakov was exactly the place of the Mizbeach. The rocks that he gathered together, the rocks of the Mokum in Akedah. Rogatchover says that Adam was formed, right, from the earth there, and that left a hole, it left a vacuum. And Dor Gedalia quotes the Balat Cheles, Dor Gedalia, you know, Vidal Yeshur quotes the Baal Tchelis, the Geshen Henoch Miradzin, quotes him as saying that the concept of the Chalal is the concept of the Nekudas HaBechira. And there's a place in the world that appears to be vacant, empty, is symbolic of what gives us Bechir, because God forbid we could think that Hashem is not there. We could think Hashem is not there. That gives us Bechira. I would go a step further with regard to Yaakov. Yaakov, I mean, okay, you know, the doctor of all places in the Makamigdash, he thinks that he can't find it. I dare say that what we saw before from the Guraye, that the Guraye says that the Makam of the Mizbeach, from underneath which was carved, Adam was taken from that earth. And the Guraye says that place encompasses all the Chomer of the world. In other words, there's no disagreement between the two Perushim and Rashi. Where did the offer come from that was used to form Adam? Because it has the essence of all the Chomer, of all the physicality of the world. Yaakov doesn't think he can't do that. Hashem is his place. Hashem is not. That can't be. But of course he understands it's not possible. Hashem is the only Mechuyah Metzias. Hashem is the only objective reality. Nothing can be unless Hashem is there. But what Yaakov thought was that there are some places which are no-go zones. You can't find him here. Of course he's here. But the Chomer and the Chalal, the vacuum, the empty space, the darkness is so thick that you can't find him. It's too much. I therefore want to posit that with regard to Avram also, we said we didn't know where he was going until Hashem finally showed him after 3 days. Avram came to the place of Avoda, the place of the Mizbeach, and the Makom HaMikdash. He came to it in a state of darkness. The Tzivui of the Akedah was darkness. It made no sense. Avram did it. But he wasn't living in light when he was doing it. He made his peace with doing the Ratzon Hashem, but it certainly wasn't light, it was dark. Yaakov, when Yaakov comes to that same place years later, Yaakov experiences a different type of darkness. Perhaps there are places where the physicality of the world is such an obstacle that you can't be over here. His conclusion that he draws in the morning is al contraire. Ein zekim beis Elokim v'zeh shar shamayim. This is nothing other than the house of Hashem, and this is the gateway to heaven. In other words, the difficulties, the darknesses that a person experiences, that at first glance appear to us to be unovercomable and walls that prevent us from our avodas Hashem, are really the areas of our avodas Hashem. They are the hurdles of our avodas Hashem. Two different types of darkness. Darkness which we associate with Hashem, and darkness which we associate with our inability on our own part to be able to follow through. These are two different types of darknesses. And it makes its appearance with regard to the Makom Mizbeach, with Avram and Yitzchak, and then with Yaakov. I think that's the Pshat in the Medrash. The Medrash linked, as it were, the separation, the uniqueness of the Jewish people, and how they're different from the rest of the nations in the world, and how we're the chosen people. And then it went on into a discussion of Torah Shabbat Peh, and the difficulty of learning Torah Shabbat Peh, and how one has to toil, and one travels through the darkness. Ha'am, ha'olchim, ha'choshech, ro'or, or godol. The nation that walks through darkness eventually sees light. That is what typifies the Jewish people. What typifies our limud of Torah Shebaal Peh, because our lives are Torah Shebaal Peh. Our lives are Torah Shebaal Peh, and we have to overcome different forms of darkness. The sort of darkness that Avram experienced, why? I can't ask. But it's dark. But he keeps on going forward. Hineni. He's there. It's one form of darkness, the Jewish people. overcome. And then there's the other darkness, the darkness of, I can't possibly overcome this. My angers, my jealousies, my desires, all the things that we see as, you know, well, that defines me, I can't do anything about it. That we see as unovercomable mountains are really the hurdles that we need to jump over. It's those mountains we need to scale. They're not preventing us, they are the Makom Avoda, they are the base of the kingdom, they are the Shaar Shamayim. So, it's interesting. I think it's very, very interesting. It's interesting also that at the end of Sukkot, I mean, the truth is, we're all during the week of Sukkot, in the base of Mikdash, they were makif, they marched around the Mizbeach with the Arava. The Arava is, as Chazal teach us, it is representative of the Jew who has neither taste nor fragrance. He's neither steeped in learning nor medactic per se in his observance of the mitzvos. He's neither. No flavor, no taste, no fragrance. Not like the lulav, not like the esrog, not like the hadassim. All of us, right, experience our arava moments. All of us have our arava patches inside of us. It's not just one person that we can point our finger at. All of us have that. And they marched around bedafka, the mizbeach, the makom mizbeach, to testify that we realize that is our job description. That is our job description. This is what we have to overcome. They marched around the Mizbeach, from whence Adam HaRishon was quarried. We were blessed with glorious days. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim, Seos Mitzvah in between, Sukkot, Man Simchaseinu, Shana Rabbah, and Simchas Torah. Now we enter into the winter. But it's not just this one winter. This is symbolic, right, of our travels in life. Jews know that the darkness is not something that prevents them from avoda. Jews know that all different forms of darkness are the areas of their avoda. Different people have different patches of darkness. Regrets over the past, they can't come to grip with, worries about the future, jealousy, anger, gaiva, melancholy, a sense of hopelessness. These are not the things that are preventing us from success. They are, as it were, our avenues to success. It's true about the Talmud. It's true about the destiny of every Jew and the Jewish people as a whole. We should have a good Shabbos, and we should take these lessons to heart, all of us, myself certainly included. Okay, Steigerwald.